So many of you remember about 3 years ago, the Department of Labor went through this notice and comment period and came out with a final rule for the salary basis test. And back then I was representing employers, and so I was privy to kind of the behind the scenes scramble to prepare for the implementation of this final rule, which increased the salary basis from $23,000 annually up to more than $47,000. And so in particular industries, that was a big deal and there was a big problem. And so the employers, you kind of scrambled to get ready for it. At the last minute, the Eastern District of Texas, Judge Mazant, enjoined the final rule in November of 16 before it went into effect. And then when the Trump administration took over, the DOL abandoned its appeal of that injunction and said they would be issuing a new proposed rule and ultimately a final rule in its place. And so this is that. This is what they have promised, and we've got it. And if the 2016 final rule was a 9 out of 10 as far as employer burden, this one's more like a 5 out of a 10. It's really dialed it back quite a bit, primarily on this salary basis requirement. Under the proposed rule, it's only going to be $679 a week as opposed to $912 a week. And these, when I say salary basis requirement, these apply to the executive, administrative, and professional exemptions, commonly called the white collar exemptions. So a significant dialing back of that requirement. Another requirement of the, or another proposed rule in this NPRM is to permit employers to actually pay less than the $679 a week, 10% less, as long as they make in credit incentive payments, including commissions against that. And if the employee doesn't make the necessary $35,308 in the year, they can actually make a catch-up payment in the first pay period after the end of the year. This is a less burdensome requirement for employers. Under the final rule in 2016, it was actually those catch-up payments had to be made at least quarterly, so a more of an administrative headache. The highly compensated exemption, which is an exemption that essentially closely tracks the white-collar exemptions, but because it requires a higher compensation, they lower the duties requirement. That's it on a very basic level. That compensation requirement is going up dramatically under these proposed this proposed rule from $100,000 to $147,000. That's actually more than what the 2016 final rule had proposed. That was just $134,000. One final big change in this 2016 proposed rule is that there are no automatic updates in it. Under the 2016 final rule, they had automatic adjustments every 3 years that were tied to like the 40% earnings rate of the lowest earning region in the census. The proposed rule here from March says, well, we intend to be updating this regularly, and but there's no requirement that they do so, and there's no automatic adjustment provisions within the proposed rule. So if history is any indication, it's unlikely that this will change in the future, at least for a number of years going forward. Also, in March, the Department of Labor issued another notice of proposed rulemaking. They've been very busy on the regular rate of pay. The regular rate of pay, very broadly and generally speaking, is the total remuneration for employment divided by the hours worked in a week. And then there are 7 listed exclusions in the Fair Labor Standards Act where you actually don't include those payments when calculating the regular rate of pay. Now, the Department of Labor had not updated its guidance on the regular rate of pay for more than 50 years, and so they did so now, and they in the introduction and the executive summary of the proposed rule, they state that this new proposed rule doesn't really implement no new requirements and doesn't require any affirmative measures to come into compliance. And I think that's largely true with 2 exceptions that I will point out to you today. It's really just about providing guidance that is in line with how the industry has changed in 50 years, and you'll see what I'm talking about here shortly. It confirms the longstanding understanding that payments for vacation, sick time, pay time off, those are not included in the regular rate of pay. Payments for bona fide meal periods are also not included in the regular rate of pay unless the course of conduct between the employee and the employer establishes that they have treated it as hours worked. For example, if the employer is paying overtime and including these meal periods in that calculation of overtime, that would be a course of conduct, and so then overtime it would be included. Otherwise, it doesn't need to be. Reimbursements for reasonable expenses are not to be included in the regular rate of pay. And then cost of employee benefits, and this is where you really see them updating to the modern workplace. So wellness programs, tuition discounts, tuition assistance, employee discounts, those gym memberships, those sort of things, which are more recent in the workplace, are not included in the regular rate of pay.